blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 1, stanzas 1 and 2. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. Psalter number 1, stanzas 1 and 2.
To read out of God's holy and precious word, out of John 17th chapter, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. O Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven, and the ruler of this entire universe, as this creation is thy own, and we have heard it in these moments, that thou hast received power to give eternal life unto as many as the Father has given unto thee. O Lord, we have not that power to give unto ourselves eternal life, but more, we have not the desire. For if we had the power, it would never be used, for our hearts are addicted to sin, to worldliness, to carnality, and to everything that is here below, so that there is none that have a desire after thee, the true and the living God by nature. O Lord, who hast the power to give eternal life unto as many as are given unto thee by thy Father, O, we beseech thee that thou may give eternal life unto us and unto our dear children. For we are together in thy house of prayer, at thy own stated institution. And thou hast commanded us to gather together, and thou dost command us to beseech thee and to seek thee, but thou dost also promise that those that seek shall find, and those that ask shall be given, and those that knock, it shall be opened unto them. O Lord, that such may be found in our midst, because we do not ask or seek or knock, except that thou dost give it unto us, and then thou wilt also finish perfectly what thou hast for such people undertaken. For thou hast said, as we have heard it together in these moments, none of them is lost. Oh, how often do that people not fear yet to be lost? Lord, thou knowest their places where that they are sitting in this afternoon hour, with fears in their heart that it shall never be for them. For the sin, for the iniquity, for the leaving, the forsaking of thee, days without number, then everything does testify against us. And when it would depend upon our goodness, faithfulness, or truth, then it would be impossible. But Lord, we have heard it out of thy own mouth. Them which thou hast given me, I have kept. O Lord, that thou may keep us, that thou may watch over us for good, and that thou may give us a little token yet of thy favor and of thy communion, and that we might know that thou dost favor us, and that thou dost remember us in the days in which we live, with a heart that is worldly. Thou hast said and not prayed, thou hast not prayed that that church should be taken out of the world. And then thou hast ascended on high and hast sitten down at the right hand of thy Father. And but thy church that is yet here below, oh, that thou may give them to feel something of thy nearness. For with thy divine nature, thou art everywhere present. Oh, that we may be given to feel that thou art on our right and on our left hand, and that thou may feed thy church as they stand in need of. Wilt thou look upon each and every one of us, do increase the number of thy true church among us. Thou knowest that there are young people who do hope to make such a solemn confession in this hour. O Lord, they are here before thee and the congregation. Oh, that thou may remember them in this hour and give them what is necessary to make this oath, which they cannot keep of themselves. Oh, that thou may give them that grace in these moments. For it is one moment that thou dost come to give life in a soul, that it may be in the bottom of their heart a cry, that thou may renew their wicked and evil heart, and that thou may take a dead heart, and that thou may make it a living heart, and that thou may take a dead confession and make it into a living confession. Remember their parents. For thy servant did say, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. O Lord, thou knowest where they sit, and the grandparents also. O that thou may humble them in this hour, for thy great goodness, for at least in an outward way thou hast granted a blessing upon the labors of their hands, which they have besought of thee for so many years. Oh, could it be then in this hour that their heart may go out to thee with a cry for a blessing, with a cry for the sanctification of thy holy word, and that thou may remember all those that have made this confession. Oh, bring it back to us in this hour, that we might see all our shortcomings and all our sin, and that we may loathe ourselves before thee, and that we may beseech thee for that forgiveness, cleansing, and but also that renewal that is necessary. Do look upon all the congregation, that there may be a desire together in all of our hearts to be joined unto thy true church, that we could not with thy servant let thee go except that thou wouldst bless also us, and that thou may lead us through this life, which is a short life here below, to that great and never-ending eternity, that we may be united in this life unto thy church, that living church that shall never die, and that we may be given to enter with them into those portals of eternal bliss, where there shall be no more weeping and no more tears, where all the misery and all the sin and all the worldliness shall end, where there shall be a blessed perfection in the rejoicing with that heavenly church. O Lord, magnify thy name in the hearts of young and old together. Look upon the children and the youth. O give them in this hour to see the blessedness of thy people, and that they may desire to be joined unto them while that they are still young, and that they might see it as that only thing that is needful in their life, and that they might seek it with all their heart, soul, and strength. Wilt thou give strength unto us in this hour to bring thy word, and continually increasingly that we may do our labors in the midst of our congregation? Wilt thou bless thy word that is brought by way of reading services also from week to week? Help those that do labor therein continually, and bless us together in thy mercy. Be with those who hope to be united also in this week in that bond of holy matrimony, and that thou may give unto them also that nearness, that felt nearness of thy Spirit, that they might know that they walk in thy way, and that they may be gladdened with all of thy deeds and their families together. Wilt thou bring thy word to the length and breadth of this whole world? Thou knowest all the turmoil that is in this world, the disease that is in this world. Oh, Lord, the fires that are in this world, the earthquakes, the storms, and then there is so much turmoil. Oh, could it please thee to show unto men from whom that we have departed, that when we feel our helplessness and our nothingness, our insignificance before a holy and a righteous God, that we might learn to fold our hands and to bow our knees and to pray unto thee. Could it please thee to put out the fires that man is not able to put out, to put away the disease that man is not able to put away, and to give thy goodness to lead us as countries and a world to thy blessed footstool. Deal not with us as our many, many sins deserve. Give us to feel something of the seriousness of thy judgments, that we may not rebel against thee and the laws of our rulers, but that we might find a place at thy blessed footstool, that thou thyself would have mercy amidst well-deserved wrath. Help us then and be near to us in this hour in speaking and in listening and in answering. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 386, stanzas 1 and 4. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. This is the second wedding announcement of Tom Ounsorn and Kaylee Kraft, scheduled for this coming Wednesday, September 23rd at 11 o'clock a.m. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by tomorrow. 386, stanzas 1 and 4. Thank you. congregation, the words of our text can be found in the portion that was read to you, John 17, and thereof the 17th verse. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So far, the words of our text. The high priestly prayer for the sanctification of his church. First, the meaning of this sanctification. Sanctify them. Second, the means of this sanctification. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thus, the high priestly prayer for the sanctification of his church. First, the meaning, and second, the means of this sanctification. Sanctify them. Who is it that speaks these words? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, we read here, praying. We read here that he prayed unto his Father, lifting up his eyes to heaven. We read that more than once in the Word of God, that the Lord Jesus prayed. That is something, actually, to think that God prays. And are we ashamed to pray? God prays. Thus, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus, he prayed unto his Father. He prayed unto his Father in his human nature. That shows something of the depth of the humility that the Lord Jesus has humbled himself to. And that he was willing to come as a servant unto his Father, and to come in a way of great dependence. We do not like to be dependent. We want to be independent. And the Lord Jesus, even as God, he has become man and was willing to make himself dependent upon his Father. This prayer of the Lord Jesus, however, that is a special prayer because it is a prayer of intercession. And we do that too sometimes because the Apostle James, he has said that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. And if such a prayer of a righteous man, it will avail much in this world one for another, how much more the righteous man himself? The prayer of this righteous man who is supplicating on behalf of his own people. Thus, that is a prayer much to be coveted. Because to be included in that prayer is to be included and accepted by the Lord. The Lord Jesus prays for his disciples. What does he pray for his disciples? Sanctify them. What does that mean? Render them hallowed. Render them to be special. Render them to be separate. To be separated from the world. To be separated from sin. From iniquity, purify them, cleanse them. The disciples of the Lord, they were set apart by the Lord for a special purpose. They were called by the Lord to that holy ministry. The disciples of the Lord, they received from Him because of that purpose a special help. The Lord Jesus, He in this sense also prays concerning Himself. He says, "Therefore I sanctify myself." Say, how is it possible that the Lord Jesus would be purified, that He would be cleansed? No, there was no sin in Him. But the Lord Jesus says, I separate myself. I separate myself from the world, from everything that is carnal and vain. I separate myself from other work. I separate myself unto a special work. I sanctify myself for a holy work. That is the work of the redemption of my own people. And yet we can read here that this is not the final or the complete interpretation of these words, because the application is wider. The Lord Jesus speaks not only about His disciples, He speaks also about His entire church. We read, "For them whom Thou hast given Me, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." Thus the Lord Jesus, when He prays here, and when He beseeches His Father for this sanctification, then He does that for the sake of His entire church, each and every one of them. Man, in his creation, was sanctified. Man, in his creation, was set apart. Man, in his creation, was dedicated, devoted to one holy purpose. You know what that is, children, because you are taught that by your father and your mother and your teachers. What is our purpose here below? What has the Lord created us for that was to be devoted to Him, that entire creation, all the animals, the trees, the mountains, everything, and especially that height of His creation, mankind created in His image? He is created for God Himself. How woeful is our fall. Because David, he says that the Lord, He looked down upon the children of men to see if there were any that did good, if there were any that did seek God, and He found none. There are none that doeth good. There is not one that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become filthy. Every single one dedicated to sin. Did you ever feel that? That entire creation that the Lord, He has made in His wisdom as clay in His hands, forming it, shaping it unto Himself, that entire creation willfully turning their back and departing from Him and addicting and devoting themselves unto the enemy of God. The best of them we read as a briar. The most upright of them is as a thorn's hedge. That means, congregation, we are all cut out of the same cloth. There is no difference, not between any single one of us. There is the same evil that lives in our heart. It is the same corrupt father and mother out of whom that we have been born, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean. Did you ever feel it? Did you ever cry out under it? Unclean, unclean. Sanctify them. Are they not wonderful words? Are they not wonderful words of that great high priest praying unto his Father for the sake of his church? Sanctify them. Oh, Paul knew what it was to desire to be made holy, and the impossibility from himself. Then he had to cry out, "O wretched man that I am." Then he understood that he was not able to sanctify himself. Is that not the complaint? The true heartfelt complaint of that true church of God? No, it is not the complaint of a hypocrite. It is not the complaint of one who comes and goes from the house of the Lord only in an outward way all his life, who has a form of religion and goes and comes in order to satisfy his conscience and to speak a little about the name of the Lord perhaps during the week. But this is lacking. This is that by which we may try our own heart, whether that religion is a heart religion or it is not a heart religion. Is there now in our heart a grief because of sin? David said, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." Or he asked the Lord, "Renew a right spirit within me, that it may be true in me, and that I might have a godly life." Yes, that I might have a godly heart. Sanctify them. That was how we were created. But it was now the purpose of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was his aim. This was his very purpose, to purify unto himself a peculiar people. And what is their peculiarity? Zealous, we read, of good works. Or what is the purpose of that redemption? That is to bring a man back again to that purpose of his creation. And when he has seen that everything that their hands have done has been destroyed by that wicked one, shall he then be stronger than God? No. "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart." Oh, he has come in order to fulfill this, the Apostle Paul says. This is the very purpose that the Lord Jesus has given himself, even unto death. Sanctify them. Oh, it is a supplication to his Father for what? It is a supplication for the application of that mediatorial work that he is now about to accomplish, that he is now about to finish. He has gone 3 years through this world. And he is going to now go to his father. And before he goes to his father, he will finish that work, he says, that he has given him to do. And how he asked the father, wilt thou now give the application? Wilt thou send forth the Spirit of God that he may go round about this world and that he may sanctify those whom thou hast given unto me? Wilt thou make them holy? Wilt thou purify them? Wilt thou separate them from walking in the midst of this world? No, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou wouldest keep them from the... what, children? Keep them from the evil. Evil. Do you ask the Lord that too? When you bow your knees in the morning by your bed, do you say, O Lord, thou givest me another day. Wilt thou watch over me? And wilt thou keep me from the evil? The evil that is in my heart, the evil that is in this world. Sanctify them. You say, were they not true children of God? Were they not already sanctified? Indeed, when are God's children sanctified? When is that true church sanctified? Oh, that begins in regeneration in that very moment. Oh, then the Father, he sees them through his Son. Oh, he sees them so clean already, actually. He can have nothing to do with a man outside of his only begotten Son. But when he may view them through that cross, oh, then he may come near to them. And then he may give them life. Then he may draw near to them in his favor. Oh, it is true that has begun already in that regeneration. If the Lord converts you, boys and girls, what is going to happen? What will that be like? Do you know what will happen? Because if the Lord converts you, that is the day that you receive the beginning of salvation. Does not begin in heaven. Begins on the earth. And what is salvation? That is to be delivered from sin. And now in that first day, when the Lord gives you a new heart, children, that salvation starts. And the Lord teaches us what sin is. And the Lord, he gives us a desire that we may be delivered from sin. That can be in your little brother, in your little sister. Did you ever hear them say, big brother, big sister, we may not do that? Then you are ashamed, aren't you? Would that not be a wonder if the Lord would convert your little brother or your little sister so that they would not want to sin anymore? Would that not be a wonder if the Lord would convert you so that sin that would become loathsome in your sight and that your heart that may go out after God, and that your life, the choice of your heart may be that you may be devoted unto him. It is true that has begun already with those disciples. Do you know what our fathers say, though? They say that in this life, there is but a small beginning. small beginning of this obedience. Is that not true, people of the Lord? Small beginning. Will you dare to deny that there is no beginning of this? If there is no beginning of this, then there indeed is no beginning in our life. But that people cannot deny that there is a small beginning. And what is now the grief of their heart? That it is not a greater work. That there is so much that they can look through their fingers at. Oh, then they desire that there would be more desire. Our fathers, they used to use that expression that the church, they sighed for a sign. Then there is a groaning because of the lack that is living in their heart and in their life. And now you know what the Lord Jesus says concerning those disciples. He prays to his Father and he says, sanctify them, O Father. Wilt thou increase it? Wilt thou give an increase in that separation in the life of my own disciples because of the backwardness that there can be to that? How dependent is that church upon that high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ as the effectual means by which that they may be sanctified? But we have to go to our second thought. The means of this sanctification, does how is that? How is a man sanctified? How is he set apart? How is he purified? What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Is that the only place we can find truth, young people? In the Word of God. Is there any truth that can be found outside of the Word of God? Yes. There is much truth that is not found only in God's Word, that is found outside of that Word. We've heard that before. That is truth that is found in the nature wherein God speaks to us. That is the reason, for example, that this building can be built, because the truths of the laws of nature and how that things will work, that's all truth that may be found in nature. But what is the Lord Jesus speaking about here? He is speaking about sanctification. He is speaking about being made holy. Can we find the means of being made holy? The truth concerning holiness, can we find that outside of the Word of God? We cannot. Then we can look at all the laws of nature and we can go to the moon and so on. But it does not teach us about holiness. Because we have lost in our own minds, in our intellect and our understanding, the knowledge of God. So that is so faint in those sparks that we cannot walk by that light anymore. That is the reason it was necessary that the Lord would give the law once again on Sinai. that men might know what his law is, that he might reveal it once again unto mankind. Thus, it is the moral truth that we must go to the Word of God for. Sanctification, that has to do with moral truth. What is moral truth? That is simple, that is children, that talks about things that are right and wrong. That's morality, right and wrong. Where do we find the things that are right and wrong? Well, we find them in the Word of God. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, "Thy word is truth." That means his word is the rule of sanctification. It tells us what truth is. Our customs, they are not the rule of sanctification. They are not the rules for what's right and wrong. Now, the Pharisees, they said to that man, "You may not carry your bed on the Sabbath day." Well, in general, no, they did not want the people to carry their bed on the Sabbath day. Those customs, they are sometimes good customs. But those customs, they are not the rule for what is right and what is wrong. And the Lord Jesus, he condemned the Pharisees just for that reason. Because then they added to God's word. And the Lord Jesus say, if you add to my word or take away from my word, I will add to you the curses that are written in my word. Thus, what is the rule? The Lord has given that rule. That is the rule of his own law. The Lord has given that rule to us in 10 simple commandments that can be understood even by our little children. If I transgress that law of God, my conscience begins to speak. But if I transgress a mere custom, then my conscience does not speak, at least if I am rightly informed. God's people, they are also liable to those same errors. We read about Peter. Then he ate with the Gentiles. In his conscience, he said, no, this is not a wrong thing to do. And then came James and the others, and then he did not want to do it. It was not for them customary. And then Peter, he needed to be rebuked by the Apostle Paul. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thus, the word, that is the rule, that is the standard of sanctification, that the Lord says, sanctify them not through all the things that man would say are right and wrong. No, sanctify, they can be cleansed by what thou dost say is right and wrong. Because that word is what defines for us what holiness is. When is a man holy? When he is separated from sin. What is sin? Well, sin is a transgression of his law. Thus, we have the definition of sin, the definition of obedience, the definition of holiness and sanctification. But it is not only the rule, it is also the means, it is the cause, the instrument. That word, thy word is truth. That word is the instrument by which the Lord, he is sanctifying his people. Sanctify them through thy truth. How does he do that? He uses that in the first place for true conversion. when you are reading in that word or you hear the preaching of that word, then he is using that word to strike the heart of a man so that his eyes are going opened. And the Lord, he is changing the heart. In that moment, there is an inward change. There is a renewal. His heart itself becomes a new heart. The Lord, he takes away the stony heart out of his flesh and he gives to him a heart of flesh. And if we do not have this renewal, there can be no true sanctification. We may all walk outwardly in the same way. We may all be very, very religious persons, walking by certain customs, certain rules. We may be looking up to one another. But if there is no inward change, there is no cleansing of our heart. There is no purification. There is no true putting away of sin. Peter says, a dog returns to his vomit again, and a sow to her wallowing in the mire. That animal, he can be washed, and they go right back again into the mire. Why? The nature. When that nature remains the same, then that washing that is only outward, and that washing that only continues for a very short time. Do you understand it? We can wash ourselves, and we can say we are going to walk in this way and in this rule, but that is not what true sanctification is. It begins in regeneration. We can talk about faith. We can talk about assurance. We can talk about good works and sanctification, all those things. But talk is not a change of heart. Sanctify them through thy truth. In that new birth, then they begin to believe the truth of that word of God. What does it say in there? Dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. Did you ever believe that? Not as a wicked person outwardly, but did you ever believe it as a religious person? As a person who has come and gone from the house of the Lord all your life. As a person whom no one could cast one stone at in the whole congregation. Did you ever go out of the house of God? A sinner before God? Through thy truth, dead in sins and in trespasses, through this word of God, the Spirit shows us our moral evil. Through this word of God, he shows us we are depraved. Through that word of God, he brings some word of God in our heart. For this person, one thing. For that person, another thing. And that person goes over the world as a wicked man, a wicked boy, and a wicked girl. I have forsaken him. My back is to him. I'm a worldly person. I'm a carnal person. I live out my life in vanity. I do not love the Lord. I miss the mark. I walk according to the purposes of my own heart. and I can leave the Lord well enough in heaven as long as I have all of the approbation of my friends and fellow mankind. Or then he sees the truth of the Word of God. Through thy truth. That is what Saul saw when the Lord stopped him. That was a man of good conscience. He thought he did good in the eyes of the Lord when he persecuted the church of God. He didn't think that was evil. He thought it was good. He was a Pharisee, a true Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. And then the Lord came. And then the Lord showed him that it was nothing but sin. And that he persecuted the Lord himself. And then Saul goes out as a guilty man. And Saul goes out as a filthy man. Sanctify them through thy truth. Not just in the outward deeds. No, but sanctify them, O Father. Sanctify them in their heart. Change their heart. Change their motives, why they do things. Change their affections, what they love. Change what they consider to be true and what they consider to be good. Change their will. Change their judgments. And when thou hast changed their heart, then all their outward life that will follow. Sanctify them through thy truth. Then a man, he looks up and he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Make me true. Make me upright. And let not sin have dominion over me. Oh, there is nothing that sanctifies like grace. Grace, you know, our fathers, they speak about the wicked. And the wicked man, he says, grace makes men careless and profane. If you give to someone, children, something for nothing, say you don't have to work for it, I just give it to you. Then they say, then that boy, then that girl, then they will not turn around again. And they will just make them careless, so they will not want to do anything for you anymore. And if you give grace, if you give salvation to God's people for free, if they don't have to merit it, then you teach that people to be slothful. And that is not true. No, the Bible that says just the opposite. It says grace sanctifies. Grace sets a man apart when he may experience that free and sovereign grace. Then there is something that comes in the heart of that man by which he becomes completely devoted unto the Lord. David, he said to the Lord, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. That is now the true sanctification. That when the Lord is opening those mediatorial labors of his only begotten Son, then they say, I love the Lord. The fount of life and grace. He heard my cry, my prayer, my supplication. Oh, then they have a desire that they may live unto the Lord all the days of their life and never depart from him. Sanctify them through thy truth. Set them apart by thy truth. Set them apart from sin. Set them apart from worldliness. That is now the prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of that righteous man that availeth much, that crippled church they are depending on. Dedicating them for a little longer. A little longer here below, under all the onslaughts of everything that comes against it, until the time that salvation shall be completed, that it will not be in its beginnings anymore. But when they shall reach that perfection, that no sin shall enter into it again. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 38, stanzas 4 and 5. His errors who can know? Cleanse me from hidden stain. Keep me from willful sins, nor let them o'er me reign. And then I upright shall appear and be from great transgressions clear. 4 and 5 of Psalter 38. I now ask those who wish to make confession of faith to arise and to answer the following questions. First, do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed? to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures. Second, do you promise by the grace of God to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third, do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? Fourth, do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event, which God forbid, that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, Wilena Madeline Arnoldusen? Lambertus Rulofsen. Amy Bertina Rulofsen. Henrik Evert van Driesten. Bailey Nicole van Driesten. Friends, the Apostle Paul says that the patriarchs also made a confession. What was that confession? You read that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Thus, a pilgrim is a traveler. And some of you were travelers. You were not able to be with us the last time, and you have come home again. They said they were travelers, they were pilgrims on the earth. Thus it is with all of us also, travelers. And when we are a traveler, you know that we are going somewhere. Thus my question to you in this moment is, where are you going? Where is your final destination? Are we not pilgrims? Are we not travelers here below? Where are we going? There are only two places. You know what they are. They are eternal abodes. The one that is a place of perfect purity. There is in that place no sin. There is no corruption. There is no pollution. It is a people that are completely set apart from all iniquity, from all transgression. The Apostle John, he says that there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth. The truth that shall prevail and does prevail in that place called heaven. Heaven. That other place, that is just the opposite. It is a place where there is no purity. It is a place of sin. It is a place where the lie prevails. It is a place where we read there is no rest, night or day, and that there is only a worshiping of the beast and his image. Thus the two homes that every one of us will be found in, one of those two homes that is a place of perfect purity or of perfect impurity. Today is a milestone in your life, upon your journey, in your pilgrimage. You spoke about it for a few moments. That sets a certain direction, at least in an outward way. You make a confession. And in that confession, then you say, I am devoted. I am devoted to this truth. And I am devoted to seek this God. That is what we do before the whole congregation. Now my question that is this. Are you concerned about what truth is? And are you concerned about what sanctification is? Because when pilgrims, when they travel, if they travel one to this place and the other to that place, then they cannot be traveling on the same road. They cannot be going down the same path, because those paths, they lead to a different end. You say, well, they live right next to each other. They go together to the house of the Lord. Are they not walking on the same path? Indeed, we can have the same words coming out of our mouth. We can have the same confession coming out of our mouth. And yet the path is not the same. Because one that is seeking a place of perfect purity, is seeking a place where there is no sin anymore. And the other, they are seeking a place that is nothing but impurity. Thus, we can be walking together, two persons, and in our heart, outwardly clean, and yet no sanctification in our heart. Do you see where the important part is? What is our desire for truth? What is our desire for purity? Because if we have no desire for purity, to be set apart from sin, we are not walking upon the pathway to heaven. That is impossible. Thus the Lord Jesus says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And we can look in our own heart and say, is that fruit there? Is there a genuine desire in my heart to be separated from sin? You possibly say, but I cannot convert myself. I cannot give myself that desire. I agree. But the question is, does that grieve us? Is that our grief? That we so walk through this world in that way because there is a way to receive it. That is what the Lord Jesus says here. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word. That is what now you professed. I believe the truth of that word. I am going to walk all my life by that word. That is what you profess to do. If you had to go through a thick forest and there were all kinds of wild and dangerous beasts, what would you seek? You say, I'd seek a man who knows just that forest and just the truth about those beasts. If he did not know the truth about them, you would never put your life in his hands. You say, that man, he is deceived. He cannot guide me safely through. Here is the word of God. And that word of God that can take you through, thy word is truth, that can take you through a world from the cradle to the grave, that is full of beasts. The beast himself, who is attempting to devour you, and that word of truth that you have testified, that shall be a guide to you for everything you need to know for the time and everything that you need to know for eternity. Oh, seek then that sanctification. The sanctification through his truth with a prayer in your heart. You cannot give it to yourself, no, but do you know what David said? He said, thy word I have hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. I hope that that may be the desire and the evidences that show in your life. Because you remember the answer to that question. Justification that grants the right to salvation, remember? And sanctification that grants the beginning of salvation. The salvation begins here below in being separated from sin. The Lord grant it to each and every one of you out of his goodness and grace. Congregation, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 415, the sixth stanza, on behalf of these friends. Who is he that fears Jehovah, walking with him day by day? At 415, stanza 6, standing. Let us try to close with a word of prayer. Almighty God and Father of thy church, oh, that thou wouldst be a God and Father also unto these young people, and that each and every one of us may be given to know that blessed relation, even as we are joined in union in and through the precious blood of thy dear Son. Give us to see and to feel the preciousness, the importance, but also the suitability thereof for our own souls. Wilt thou grant us to depart in peace? Wilt thou keep us in the week to come? Grant that blessed desire to be separated from sin, that we may not walk according to all the desires of this world, but that our treasure may be in heaven, that we may desire to be a spiritually minded people, that vanity may be our burden, and that thy name may be magnified in our hearts and in our lives. Do forgive and take away our many sins, and supply for each one of us in the tasks that we are given to do here below. Spare us from a sudden and an unprepared death, from all disease, from all accident. Remember all that mourn and all that have needs which man cannot fulfill. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that was sinful and with an acknowledgement of all thy help also in this hour. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 428, the eighth stanza. Thy word is as a lamp unto my feet, a light upon my pathway unto heaven. I've sworn an oath, which gladly I repeat, that I shall keep, as always I have striven, thy righteous judgments, holy and complete, when unto me thy helping grace is given. Stanza 8 of Psalter 428.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.